Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to an episode of Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir, Sherry Pang, and Maria Wilson Duff. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, and generally anything unexplained. The show is about to begin. I'm Jason Ophir, as usual, here with the beautiful and talented psychic medium, Sherry. Sherry, howdy doody.
Pretty good. How are you, Jason? It's been a while since you and I've been on together.
I know, right?
Crazy.
Oh, you know.
Oh, my gosh. I've been on tour, and I think last week I was on tour, and then the week before, Saturday I was on tour the week before, but that Sunday, our guest that is coming on, I have never had him as a guest. I know when we had him as a guest, Maria was filling in for me, but Ron Patton. But, we got to talk about a little bit about Ron and I were at a paranormal investigation together.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, I've been having nothing but technical difficulties for the last 2-3 months, and I just somehow was able to connect so you can hear me in the last 40 seconds, so I don't know what's going on. It's not on my end. I've tried different microphone setups, different computers, but luckily I was able to get through. Speaking of paranormal investigations, I was just cleaning out my closet and found all my old ghost meters, so that brought back some memories.
Wow. So they're probably still pretty good, right?
Yeah, you know, I was like, oh, sweet. And I was, like, checking for electromagnetic radiation where I'm at, and, like, it was cool. I turned on the microwave, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm getting blasted with EMF, and checking everything out. And so having a lot of fun. Not too much going on this last week, just been busy working, and that, not a whole lot to report other than this is our second show at our new time. I know I can tell, based on listenership, that adjusting to the 7 o'clock hour has thrown a bunch of people off, which is, I guess, to be expected. So, so thanks to everybody that's been putting up with us going on an hour early.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I think that, you know, the time-wise, and especially, you know, when I'm on tour and Maria's filling in for me, it's easier for also, not just for her, she's coming from Kentucky, but, you know, all our people from the East Coast, you know, Andrea Perrone and David Weatherly, all these guys are, you know, all coming from the other side. So I think that, you know, once they get used to it, 7 o'clock, I think it's going to work out better for everybody.
Absolutely. So I guess we're talking about conspiracy theory tonight with Ron Patton. You know, that's a subject that I hold near and dear to me. It wouldn't take much for me to be pushed way into the realm of conspiracy, because you know I love that subject, and I believe the government and everybody's out to get us, so I can't wait to hit on that a little bit.
Right, and I want to introduce Ron Patton. We're probably going to have him introduce himself, what he's with, that kind of thing, so you can hear it from the horse's mouth. This guy is not just a really, really nice, I don't know what to say, but just a really sweet guy, and he makes a really nice friend. But I also personally, even though he is an assistant with Clyde Lewis, he himself has made a name for himself, and he's very insightful, very informative, and we're just going to wing it. We're just going to go with the flow, and whatever we want to talk about and whatever he wants to talk about, we're going to have him come on.
That's what we do best. We have it down to an art form. Well, without any further ado, let's get Ron on right now.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me
hey,
on,
Ron.
Guys.
Ron.
Hello.
Great to have you on. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
We're winging it.
Yeah, well, I'm Ron Patton. I'm executive producer of Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. It's a nationally syndicated radio show on over 300 stations across the country. And I've been hanging out with Clyde since about 2015. I've actually known him probably since about 2010 because I've written for Paranoia Magazine, and I used to be the publisher. Now I'm the executive editor of Paranoia. And that just so happened to be his favorite magazine, so that's how we connected. And then in 2015, he asked me to be his producer for his show, and it's done quite well. You know, we're based out of Portland, Oregon here, and we've switched networks, which has been really good. We were on Premier for, I guess, since 2012, and now we're with the Sun Broadcast Group, and I think that's really helped us a lot to get onto more stations, and it gives us a lot more independence too, which makes it nice. But so yeah, I've been doing that. And then, you know, like I said, I've been with Paranoia Magazine since around 96. I used to write for them. I wrote stuff on UFOs and aliens, sort of like from the spiritual perspective. And then I've written on CIA and military mind control operations, one called Project Monarch, which is sort of an amalgamation of several sub-projects of MKUltra. But so, yeah, that's sort of me in a nutshell. And the other thing, too, which I don't know, you might find interesting, is I've set up a couple of stores, conspiracy stores, one in San Diego called Paranoia, the conspiracy store. And I did that for a few years. And then when I came to Portland, I opened up the Conspirazone. And unfortunately, none of them are operating at this time, but I really want to start like maybe a conspiracy museum, something like that. But I tend to be more along the lines of a conspiracy realist. You know, a lot of times people will introduce me as a conspiracy theorist, which is fine. But I think a conspiracy realist is probably more apropos in that, you know, there are conspiracy theories, of course, but there are conspiracy facts. So that's why I just like to kind of preface my perspective on conspiracies. And as you well know, Jason, there's a lot of misnomers and misunderstanding of what a conspiracy means. But, you know, if people just look it up in the dictionary, it's basically when you have two or more people who kind of get together and in secret and do harm to other people. So that happens in families, that happens in religion, that happens in politics. Essentially, it happens in every aspect of society. So, yeah, there's my take on the conspiracy scene.
I think a conspiracy museum is a fantastic idea.
You like that, huh?
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. And I've never heard of one, so I'm sure that would be a first.
Oh, there was one in Dallas, actually. There was one in Dallas.
Was there?
Yeah, by this guy. I forgot his first name, but I think his it was like R.B. Cutler or something like that, who's a conspiracy writer. I think he wrote a lot of stuff on the JFK assassination. And, you know, that's sort of a appropriate place to have a conspiracy museum. But unfortunately, I think it's defunct. It's no longer in operation. But it really doesn't take too much to get something like that together. You know, I had like a few books, a few magazines, actually a lot of magazines, and, you know, some t-shirts and bumper stickers. And, you know, I just started adding to my collection of different conspiracy and paranormal items. So that's why I decided, you know what, why not have my own little store? And it worked out pretty well, actually. I had a really neat place in downtown San Diego back around 2013, 2014, for about 3 years. And, yeah, it was, I was only paying like $300 a month for a really
wow.
neat little art studio. And I just turned it into a conspiracy store. And, yeah, that worked out pretty well. I had a lot of neat parties. I had, I don't know if you've ever heard of Freeman Fly. He's pretty big in podcasting, you know, paranormal and conspiracy stuff. And had Dan Fogler during the Comic-Con in San Diego. Dan Fogler is a comedian and an actor. And we actually showed his film called Don Peyote that came out in about 2014, I believe. And so, yeah, that's fun times. We also had a art exhibit called Paranoia, Mind Control, and the Art of Suggestion. And, you know, we were written up in the newspaper in San Diego with all of our crazy conspiracy artwork that, you know, people were showing. And so, yeah, but a conspiracy museum makes a lot of sense to me. And I think there'd actually people that would go to it, you know.
Wow.
A lot of these things are theories, and then they get to be proven accurate. I mean, if you look at declassified documents from the 50s and 40s, where back then somebody said, oh, this could never happen, and then you find out 50 years later, oh, I can't believe the government did that to its own population, you know, testing and all this crazy stuff, MK Ultra.
Right, yeah, like with human experimentation, and I mean, the information is readily available for people to see. It's just that a lot of people, you know, suffer from cognitive dissonance. You know, basically, you know, people set up their own paradigm or sort of frame of reference. But if it kind of goes outside of that, that's when people kind of get freaked out and they all of a sudden they shut down. They create this denial system. And that's why there's a lot of people that just don't want to believe that there are these very multifarious types of conspiracies out there. But, you know, I'm the type of person that tries to be objective as possible, but, you know, none of us are totally objective. I think it's important really to utilize sort of a combination of both inductive and deductive reasoning, you know, sort of utilizing our intuition, but then also utilizing our intellect, our logic as well. And once we're able to kind of balance that, then usually we come closer to, you know, what's referred to as the truth. So, I mean, that's the way I try to look at a lot of things that are sort of obscure or out there. And so, yeah, the thing with, like, human experimentation, like you were saying earlier, Jason, you know, the information's there, Freedom of Information Act, it's been out there for a long time. But still, to this day, people just do not want to believe. It's like with chemtrails, too, for instance. You know, there are people say, oh, those are just regular contrails. You know, the other day in Portland, we had a lot of chemtrails, and there were, like, these circular ones. And then, you know, some guy on my Facebook page was trying to tell me, oh, I've been an aviation mechanic for 35 years, and those are just contrails, so... Ron, you know, quit putting out lies, you know, about just regular contrails that aren't doing anything to me. I mean, it's like, yeah, buddy, just dream on, you know. It's a proven fact that chemtrails exist. NASA even admits that there's chemtrails, and there are, you know, a lot of these think tanks that have also admitted that they've been utilizing a form of aerosol spraying for the purpose of weather modification. So it's sort of like a lot of these naysayers need to kind of like wake up. I think a lot of them are just probably trolls, you know, disinfo trolls. But I think there are some people that are just so overly skeptical. Again, it comes down to that cognitive dissonance. They just can't handle the fact that there are a lot of heinous things that are going on in the world. And, you know, it gets frustrating to try to wake up people, but at the same time, you just do what you can and you know, the people that are overly critical, you just sort of like have to dust off your sandals and move on.
So let me with ask regard- you, let me ask you, Ron, what is contrails? What is that? I don't even know what contrails are.
Well, contrails, that's just regular, you know, water vapor exhaust from airplanes.
Okay.
Whereas
is that correct? That's what I heard. Is that true? You think that there's a different pattern to that?
Yeah, well, I mean, chemtrails, on the other hand, linger. They can linger for like a few hours, right? And water vapor doesn't do that. I mean, depending upon the altitude and the temperature, a contrail can linger, but it's not going to last as long as a chemtrail, where they will start spreading out, right? So sometimes you can look out on a clear, beautiful day, and all of a sudden you see these lines in the sky, and they don't disappear. They start spreading out, and all of a sudden there's nothing but white sky. So those are chemtrails. And, you know, a lot of people ask, well, why would the government do that? Why would people do that? And it would affect their own children, you know, like the people that are actually doing, this is what I've been told, you know, and it's sort of like, you know what? I have no idea, but the reality is this is happening. Perhaps they have some way to detoxify from these chemtrails. And there are different ways to do that. I know you can, but it's sort of like, let's just deal with the facts. Chemtrails exist. You can't deny it. I mean, there's enough evidence to support that. They've done air quality analysis, soil analysis, to show that there are heavy concentrations of strontium, aluminum oxide, barium. Does that just fall out of the sky? Pardon the pun. You know, where's that coming from, right? And so that's what makes up these chemtrails. And there have been various reasons as to why chemtrails exist. I think back in the 90s and early 2000s, they were saying that, well, they made up some excuse that, you know, we got to offset global warming. So if we have a protective layer around the planet, where the UV rays can't penetrate through this layer, it'll help cool down the planet. So that was one of the rationales. And then the other reasoning for chemtrails is a form of, you know, depopulation. There have been certain areas, I know that back in, I think it was the late 90s, where there was some chemtrail spraying in the UK, and a lot of people had very severe respiratory problems. Some people actually died. So what I think they are doing is they are probably just sort of testing out, you know, various types of chemtrails to see, you know, sort of the fallout, or how many people would be going to the hospital, how sick they would get. And, so, yeah, this has happened in different places. And then, even in off the coast here in Oregon, probably about 3 years ago, I believe, a woman by the name of Dr. Ann Fillmore noticed that a lot of her friends and animals were getting sick. You know, like they had this flu. They go to the doctor. And the doctor would say, well, it's not quite the flu. We'll just call it the crud. You just got the Oregon crud or whatever, because they couldn't figure out what it was. But then there was a lot of information coming out, too, about, you know, these chemtrails and all these planes. And shortly after, that's when the people would start getting sick. So, you know, there was a definite cause and effect relationship there. And I still think if you plugged in Dr. Ann Fillmore, you'll probably get some information about what occurred back in 2016. I even remember back then, think it was around March. There was a heavy rain. I was caught in a kind of a rainstorm, and it was just, I was just drenched. And then the next day, I just felt really sick. You know, I go, oh God, this feels like the flu. And a day later, I was just shaking almost uncontrollably. It's like, man, I was freaking out. I thought I'd have to go to the doctor. And yeah, it was, I was sick actually for about a week. But then other people said, yeah, they thought they had the flu too. And they went to the doctor and they just said, oh, you got the crud. You know, so it was like, so I also probably experienced that as well. And to be quite honest with you, I haven't totally recovered from that after 3 years. You know, I have a few health issues because of it. Especially my candidus, which is sort of a yeast overgrowth in your system. Whereas before I had it under control, but ever since then it's hasn't been the same. And so I have to be really careful about what I eat and make sure I eat a lot of probiotics and enzymes and oil of oregano, stuff like that, to kind of keep it at bay. But it's just, unfortunately, over the past 3 years, it's been taking its toll on my health. But, you know, I try to do what I can to offset or mitigate those effects.
So I was... I saw the news story about all the contrails over in Portland the other day, and they were saying the planes were circling over Portland because there was fog in Seattle. And immediately when I heard that explanation, I was like, yeah, right. I mean, come on. Like, you're going to send all these Seattle planes to circle over Portland where we have our own air traffic because you have fog.
It wasn't that dense. Then that means every time there's fog, then that would happen, right? I mean, if it was really bad. And they've had it worse. I've heard it was worse, and they never had that. So, yeah, they got to make up some excuse. But that, like I said, I posted a photo on my Facebook page of all these circular chemtrails, and, you know, all of a sudden this disinfo troll comes on. Well, Ron, you better quit. You know, posting lies about regular contrails that are not hurting people at all. It's like, oh, give me a break. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and then there's a third aspect of chemtrails too, and we have a regular guest on Ground Zero. Her name is Ilana Freeland, and she's a writer. And she's done a lot of research, actually. We were involved in a magazine called MK Zine back in 2003. Because I used to live in Olympia, Washington, where she lives. And so we met around 2000, and we collaborated on a magazine dealing with coercive mind control and invasive human experimentation. And she has really gotten into some heavy-duty research when it comes to chemtrails from the aspect of what's referred to as full-spectrum dominance. That's a military term whereby they want to have complete control over every facet of the planet, whether it's, you know, electronic or, you know, infrastructures or whatever else. And so part of the chemtrail mechanism has to do with the sort of like creating this electronic grid around the planet. And it's alleged that a lot of these chemtrails have what's referred to as nanotechnology or nanobots or smart dust, these little, just small little things that you can't even really see, that we all breathe in. So we all have this nanobot technology. Everybody has them in their lungs and in their brain right now. And so this electronic grid is supposed to be able to do certain things where if they triangulate, let's say, for instance, a certain area at a certain frequency, then it would cause a certain response. And a number of individuals or just one person. So, I mean, it sounds kind of scary, but I tend to believe that. But I think what Ilana posed the other night on our show, she was on Ground Zero, is, you know, do we have the capacity to consciously sort of overcome this technology? And so, I mean, that's a very, you know, deep question. I think we can to an extent, you know, with our, especially our collective consciousness and our vibration. And then also there's certain things we can do physically to offset chemtrails. I think there's like a certain type of detox bath where you use like Epsom salt and baking soda. I think there's a few other things that you also put in there. And then also to, you know, drink like aloe vera gel and a lot of chlorophyll type substances. And those are ways to sort of leach onto the heavy metals into your system. I think there's also pectin, which is really important. So, yeah, there's a number of different things. Unfortunately, I don't have the information at hand, but people can look online, you know, just plug in, you know, ways to detox from chemtrails. And there's a few good sites there that give pretty good sound advice. But, you know, there's a lot of people that are complaining about, like, for instance, candida or brain fog, which I suffer from quite a bit. I have pretty severe brain fog. And, you know, a lot of this, I believe, happens to be a consequence of these chemtrails.
Well, I will say I do work in a hospital, and the incidence of people with respiratory problems and respiratory failure is really, really high. I never really thought of it being sort of a chemtrail thing, but now that we're on the subject, I'm starting to wonder, because I see it every day, respiratory failure. And it's not always just old people either, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've known this for about, I don't know, 10, 12 years. There was a doctor on a YouTube channel who was talking about how respiratory problems went up like 700% in a real short amount of time. And they were just baffled. And then he started delving into the whole chemtrail, you know, conspiracy theory. And then, you know, it made sense to him. And then, again, having some scientific studies and analysis of what's in the air and what's in the soil. There's a guy by the name of Clifford Carnicum in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He has the Carnicum Institute. And he does a lot of that diagnostic testing of, you know, what he refers to as aerosol injections. I don't think he uses the word chemtrails anymore. With that too, what I haven't mentioned is another possible consequence of chemtrails is a disease called Morgellons. And Morgellons,
I'm familiar with that, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of like it's almost like biological and mechanical, you know, type of fibers in your skin, right underneath your skin. Sometimes they go into your joints, and sometimes they come out of your skin and you have this weird rash or whatever. But I mean, when they put that stuff under a microscope, man, that stuff is really freaky looking. And, of course, the general medical establishment feels that people who say they have Morgellons or they have these weird fibers or whatever, like, and they describe it as like kind of like things that are moving in their skin. They can actually feel this. They just say that these people are just, you know, have some sort of psychological malady or whatever.
Yeah,
and
parasitosis.
Yes, yeah. And there was a singer. What was her name? Something Collins. She was a folk singer, I think. And Judy Collins. Yeah, I think it was Judy Collins. I think she had Morgellons. And, you know, there's a few famous people who actually believe they have Morgellons. And some of them have been able to, again, offset the Morgellons or the disease that they have, whereas other people, it's just been so debilitating that they can hardly move because they're in so much pain. So, I mean, there's something up there. But to dismiss somebody by just saying, oh, it's all in your head, when there's obvious physical symptoms, you know what I'm saying? It's just sort of like, why would, you know, a doctor say something like that? Because that's what they're supposed to say, you know? I don't know. It's just mind-boggling to, you know, whether it's, you know, the general medical establishment or big pharma or whatever else, you know, if it sort of like cuts into their you know, monetary system, then that's bothersome, and they don't want people to be able to, you know, heal themselves, right? Because that just doesn't look good. Plus the fact that, you know, they can't make money that way.
Pretty sad that our health is, you know, the big pharma and all that. We're at, people just want to make money and be rich, and we're the ones that suffer. And who knows what's really going on? Has anybody actually like gone up in one of these chem contrails and sampled the air directly?
I believe so. Yeah, if you go to Clifford Carnicum's site, you might be able to find some of the results of the tests that they've had. And then, you know, there's a few good documentaries on it too. I think What in the World are they spraying and Why in the World Are They Spraying? Those are some good documentaries made about 8 years ago, I believe. But, you know, those are all available, I think, pretty much on YouTube. So, yeah, there's some pretty sound documentaries. Then there are sort of what I would refer to as spurious theories that I really don't know what to think. But there are some people that say that if you use like it's pronounced Orgone technology, O-R-G-O-N-E, that can help disperse the chemtrails or break them up. But I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me because it's, again, like what's up there is somehow it has to come down, right? Does it just make it disappear? So yeah, there are some people that are kind of out there but they insist that if you use certain types of technology, it can disperse the chemtrails, but you can disperse the chemtrails, but it doesn't just like disappear. You know, it has to come down eventually. So that's why I have some kind of issues with that particular theory.
Oh, my goodness. And one thing I wanted to make sure I ask you about, actually two things, but one of them I wanted to ask you about was, what do you know about HARP up in Alaska, the high altitude atmospheric, whatever that stands for, with a huge radio antenna? What do you know about that?
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, that was set up, I don't know, I think it was probably back in the 80s or something like that, 70s or 80s. And they were trying to, you know, use that as sort of like an ionospheric heater. They were doing some communications testing with it too. I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Billy something, the guy who was Billy Hayes, I believe is his name. He was the supervisor of HARP, and he's been on Ground Zero, and he was also working in conjunction with Ilana Freeland on some information that she has in her books. But yeah, the thing is, you know, they had shut that down and they started back up, but I believe there's like around 21 HARPs around the world right now. They're even like I think, like a HARP type system on a ship or barge. So they have a few of those, actually. But it's sort of outdated because they have more sophisticated systems that are similar to that. But yeah, from my understanding, you know, there's a lot of, it's kind of like Area 51. Everybody's going, oh, Area 51, we got to check it out. I mean, yeah, they're still doing some stuff there, but it's sort of like they're doing a lot more, you know, subversive, top secret stuff in other places other than Area 51. I think Area 51, you know, just sort of got a name for itself, and then just people just sort of like stuck with it, right? But there's even talk that Area 51 uses a form of like holographic projection of like having lights that look like UFOs to kind of like keep people amused, like, oh wow, look at that, you know. But if you use some sort of like an infrared sensor, you could detect whether or not it's just a light or there's an actual physical presence that's emitting heat, you know. So there's ways to detect that. But, you know, I just think sometimes people just, you know, they want to believe certain things and they want to say, oh, yeah, this is happening or that's happening. But, yeah, getting back to your question about HARP, yeah, they were using that for a while, but now there's a lot of different types of HARP systems from what Ilana Freeland has talked about. And, yeah, there's a lot more going on now than just the HARP in Alaska.
Wow. Yeah, I heard the Russians had it and all. I mean, I could go on for hours, things I want to talk about.
Oh yeah, God, but I mean, see, like, this is all, it's all connected, though, again, with the creating the space fence, the electronic grid, with chemtrails, because, again, the military wants full spectrum dominance. I mean, this is what the words they use over the planet. And so that's being able to control every aspect of the planet, whether it's biological or electronic or chemical or whatever. So, I mean, that's a pretty scary proposal, you know, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, because I don't see that you can do much about it. What do you think about that, Sherry? We're kind of a potentially victims of not only mass surveillance, but mass manipulation via electronics and whatever's in the sky.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know how you can, you know, fight it except to pick, you know, the only thing I can think of is maybe trying to keep your immune system, your number one, you're aware of it, but number two is trying to be mindful, keep your immune system to a highest level so that when you are exposed to it, you're not going to be, you're not going to have autoimmune diseases and all kinds of problems and everything. I think that, you know, just breathing the air, and Ron is correct. Everything we have, from the air we breathe to everything that we ingest, is just, you know, we're poisoning ourselves. We didn't, you know, back 20, 30 years ago, we never used to have the highest incidences of autism and cancer and all kinds of things. And, you know, knock on wood, and literally pray to God that we don't get inflicted in those kind of things in our lifetime. But, you know, I don't know. It's just all kinds of things are so running rampant. I mean, you look at, you know, as probably when we were growing up, we were having the STDs, and it was just, what, syphilis and gonorrhea. I don't know how many things that there are now that have, you know, that's just expanded with diseases and things like that. So, you know, only thing I can think of is just being, number one, aware, educating other people that are open to listening what the truth is, and number two, trying to keep as healthy as possible. So, you know, being a practitioner in Chinese medicine, I tell people you're going to either pay at the front end or the back end. So I'd rather with our pets or even with ourselves pay at the front end if you can, you know, with organic, eating healthy and being mindful and doing the things that Ron suggested instead of eating a bunch of crap and things that you know that has got a lot of processed food. So that's just my thought.
Right.
Just a penny.
Yeah, getting your pH system leveled out, you know, as far as the alkaline type foods and water and stuff like that to be able to detox properly. But, you know, like what I brought up before too, Sherry, is, you know, our consciousness and how we think about things. And I think through certain levels of consciousness, I don't know, maybe it's just wishful thinking, but I think that can be a very strong tool to mitigate or offset some of these destructive forces that unfortunately are just running rampant. And again, it's not paranoid thinking. This is reality, because whatever I'm talking about, I can prove. There's documentation to substantiate this stuff. And I rather know the truth of what's going on as opposed to just sort of burying my head in the sand, so to speak, and just like, oh, well, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. But I'd rather just be a warrior and just say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to give in to this. I'm going to do what I can on a personal level, and then also on a collective level with other like-minded individuals, and, you know, try to help them and support them as much as possible. I think that's the only way that we're going to be able to overcome a lot of this stuff. And, you know, the reality is where this is all heading to is through AI and transhumanism. That's the next phase of the human evolution.
You know, if we talk about this too much, we're going to have black SUVs sitting outside of our house.
Or the dreaded black helicopters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, so Sherry, you know, we went on that paranormal investigation. When was that? 2 weeks ago?
That was 2 weeks ago. What'd you think of that? What'd you think? It was crazy trying to put the group together.
Well, I mean,
wow.
I really wanted to go because that was my first one. I mean, you know, I produce a show that deals with both paranormal and conspiracy. And I've always wanted to go on a ghost investigation. I mean, I kind of went on one in San Diego at some old hotel, but it was just sort of like haphazard. Somebody had some sort of EVP device, and yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, whatever. But I really like this because it seemed like there was a lot of activity going on, paranormal activity. And, you know, we were actually able to pick up a few voices here and there. So yeah, I thought it was great.
Yeah. And Clyde had his own experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When he was sleeping.
Yeah. Oh,
how
yeah,
about
yeah.
You? Have you guys, you and your girlfriend, did you guys have any weird things, or were you able to sleep? I couldn't sleep very well, and that was part of my problem too.
Well, Stephanie said that something bumped into the bed a couple of times, and she knew that we had her. You know, we had our dog with us, right? And he was on top of that, so it couldn't have been him. So, you know, I mean, that all makes sense. And I guess it wasn't there some sort of can that was in that one room that somebody had something kicked or whatever? Somebody
yeah,
kicked
you
the
were
can.
There, right? You were there when
no,
it happened.
I was out.
Noise.
No, I was. I think I was out of there at that time. I was somewhere else, and then I came back. So yeah.
Weird. Really
yeah.
Strange.
now did I'd like to ask, did the one guy who was doing some of the video work, was he able to analyze some of the film that he took in there?
I think so, but I never heard from him ever since. I need to go and touch base. His name was Jamin Merle, and he was the head paranormal investigator for the Shanghai Tunnels right underneath Harvey's Comedy Club.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
So
it would be interesting to get the results because, you know, like Clyde told me before, you know, sometimes you go on these ghost hunts or ghost investigations, and sometimes they're like, oh, well, yeah, nothing much happened. But then when they review the film and the audio, there's so much that gets picked up that you just aren't aware of, you know.
You never know what comes through, that kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know. I said something about seeing an orb, and I don't know what happened. I haven't heard, you know, when I saw that thing flying through the screen. So it could be, like I said, it could be something, a refraction of light, or it appeared to me like some type of orb, but I could be wrong. So.
Yeah.
I've heard some.
Yeah, sir. I enjoyed it, though.
When I used to do paranormal investigations, I would hear like my name really creepy, like Jason, or like kill her, and all that stuff. It's like, wow.
These guys were sort of like a bunch of geriatric ghosts, Masonic ghosts, right? What was it? And they were just like, hey, how's it going? What are you guys doing in here, man? You know. One name was what, like Seth, and there was Edith or something like that, and I don't know, just like these old school names, Herman, and different names that were coming up.
I'll tell you, the whole experience, I haven't been back there. I don't know about you, Ron, but I know Steffi and I were talking about it. She was wiped out. I mean, it was like they knew that our energy is high, and I was drained, and when Clyde and Jeremy and Clyde's wife, Janine, were doing the second seance, I was laying down at the couch, and I was like, I'm done. I'm just like, everything.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you, but did you feel like you were wiped out, too?
The next day more so,
yeah.
It was really strange that night when I – you know, because I was tired, right? And so I closed my eyes, and I guess I was asleep, but it didn't seem like I was asleep all night. I was just sort of like in this really weird alpha state of consciousness or whatever. Like you know, having lucid dreams or whatever. So, I was calm. I was very calm, but it didn't feel like I really slept. Strange. It's difficult to explain because I never really felt that way before.
Huh. How about you, Jason? Have you ever had that feeling that Ron just described?
I've felt all sorts of things, from like walking into a room and feeling instant dread to nothing. But the majority of the investigations I did were kind of like you were saying, after the fact, where you start hearing all these weird voices or reviewing the video. The most impactful sensation I ever felt was that doing an investigation at the White Eagle in Portland in the most haunted room. And when I walked in there, it was like walking into a wall, and I was like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do this. And then we went and we had dinner, came back, and it was totally gone. So whatever was going on there left, but it was like walking into pure dread. So it was odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, again, I haven't had enough of an experience to, you know, feel all those different sensations. But, hey, I'm raring to go again on a ghost investigation or a paranormal investigation. So anytime you guys need an extra person to come along, just ask me, man. I'd like to do it, as long as it doesn't, you know, it's not on a weekday. I'm good.
Okay, Sherry, I'm making you a promise, Sherry.
You're working, too.
Yeah.
Sherry, let's do this again.
And I think Stephanie enjoyed it. Check it out, and the dog was really chill. So it worked out to be wonderful. It was good.
Yeah.
It was a good experience.
Yeah.
Very eye-opening.
Yeah. We brought Coda, the paranormal dog. And he kept us all grounded.
He was a good dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a great guy.
Oh, hey, were you there? I got to ask you, Ron, were you there when we thought that my bodybuilding coach, he got a little bit too much to drink, and he checked out how he got kicked out, but we thought we were hearing noises from the bathroom. Were you there when that when that was going on.
Yeah, I thought somebody was in the bathroom too. It was weird. And then all of a sudden it was like I saw him come in from the front door, and it's kind of like, well, who's in the bathroom? Oh, you know, like whatever. And then somebody, I think Clyde brought it up too. It's like, well, there was some noises coming out of the bathroom, but nobody was in the bathroom.
Do you remember what kind of noises it was?
I didn't hear any voices. I just heard things like moving around or whatever. And I mean, it was directly there. It wasn't like anybody above us or, you know, so it was emanating from the bathroom. I just couldn't ascertain what the heck was going on in there. But yeah, nobody was in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Somebody was in the bathroom, and it's like, this is kind of interesting. And I made the assumption that Noah was going to the bathroom, but no, he went outside. So that was what's so freaky about it. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, it was just a good overall experience. I actually was feeling more stuff around the perimeter of that building as opposed to inside. That's why I was hoping we could go outside and try to do something, because I mean, I was just feeling really sensitive that there was something going on outside there, especially out in the courtyard.
Yeah, next time we'll have to do that. Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff going on. It's got a pretty weird past, and I don't know about you, but downstairs was pretty dark, and, you know, it was a very interesting experience.
Well, just like Edgefield, too. That's another McMenamin's hotel that's supposed to be haunted, I guess.
I've done that one. I've done
that.
Yeah.
What was that?
Haunted room. Well, I actually didn't spend the night in the room, but somebody else did. We had the whole place wired with cameras, and I guess not much happened. But the room that's right next to the most haunted room, I don't remember what number it was, I was just getting a really weird feeling from, and I told them, I said, man, I don't think this room is haunted, but there's something going on with the room next to it. So the next day, the person that actually slept in the alleged most haunted room said he heard furniture moving all night long in that room. I got a weird vibe from, and there's nobody checked into that room. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of like to figure out what room that was and stay in that room.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting. Maybe there's some sort of like a website or blog or something where, you know, a message board where people go, oh, if you want to go to a real haunted room, go into like, you know, room 333 at Edgefield or something. I don't know. I'm sure there's some information somewhere online.
Yeah, well, they have a log there. All you'd have to do is go read what people are saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And figure that out. But I would be willing to do that again. That was kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good food, too.
Yeah, I've never been to the Edgefield. Never have.
Yeah, it's a cool place. It kind of has the same vibe, I guess, as the Grand Lodge. But I think it's a little creepier. And, I mean, I felt a little more creeped out at Edgefield. I first went there, I think, in 95 or 96, something like that. Long time ago.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's the history of Edgefield,
no doubt,
by the way? What did it used to be before it became a hotel?
I don't know. A what?
It was a bunch of things. It was back in the day. I think it was like a poor farm. I don't what that is. I can't remember exactly. But it was several different things.
Mm-hmm. But isn't there a brewery there too, or some sort of?
Oh yeah, yeah, the brewery and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
Huh.
But I was told at the time where this one guy was, I guess he was privy to like things that dealt with satanic ritual abuse and mind control in the Portland area, and so that night. Myself, a good friend, and my stepbrother went with this guy to look at all these creepy places, and he was telling us stories about how there would be these like MK Ultra Monarch mind controlled survivors that would go there to get reprogrammed and stuff. And he said, yeah, if you go down these stairs, there are certain rooms in there that are nobody can go in, but that's where they were programmed or whatever. And it's like, whoa, thinking, okay.
Wow. I'd never heard of that.
Wow.
Well,
I mean, whether it's true or not, who knows, but it definitely has that sort of esoteric, creepy feel to it, to where it could be plausible, you know?
Yeah, if there's one place.
Let me ask
you
guys, do you feel that, you know, any place could be haunted instead of just looking at one place that we can all conglomerate? But what's your thought about, you know, this whole earth, whether, you know, everybody's, you know, a lot of people have died. What do you think? Is it that every place can be haunted or is haunted? What's your opinions?
Well, I think it's, when you say haunted, you mean like there's a lot of paranormal activity. Sure. But I also think that there are maybe some other factors that come into play, like things that have to do with the geology of the area, like what's underground. For instance, if there's like heavy mineral deposits, very dense and heavy mineral deposits, you know, underneath you, that might have some sort of influence on paranormal activity, because on Vancouver Island, there's a lot of heavy, quartz deposits. And it seems like there are also areas where there's a lot of hauntings on Vancouver Island, especially in Victoria.
Oh, wow.
So I actually went on a sort of a ghost tour one night, and then I brought that to somebody's attention because somebody had told me that years ago that, yeah, a lot of places where there's hauntings or a lot of paranormal activity is largely in part because of the what's underneath your feet, you know, like different types of minerals and deposits and how dense and how deep they are. So it kind of makes sense.
But I don't think it's one thing.
I think there's several factors, but I think that's one of the factors as well.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, you have all sorts of, you know, factors that we're not even probably aware of, and the mineral one I think is correct. And also, I think any place can be haunted, although, albeit, I am skeptical on the whole haunting thing. But if you think about all the people that have lived through the thousands of years, there's probably a place where you can't step, where somebody died or something died. So why not? But we are running out of time, so we got to wrap it up. So for the people listening, where can they get on and listen the Ground Zero?
Just go to groundzeromedia.org and they can just listen live. There's a little button there they can press, or they can go on to kxl.com, listen to the show that way. We're on Monday through Friday from 7 to midnight Pacific time. And then also I have a podcast that I'm part of with Olaf Phillips, the publisher of Paranoia Magazine. It's called the Paranoia Podcast. And people can just get on to SoundCloud, plug that in there, and they'll find some of our previous shows. That's probably the best way to get in touch with me. I really appreciate you guys having me on. Like I said, Jerry, it's been a while, and enjoyed being on the show.
Yeah, I never had you as a guest. And, before we leave, quickly, because this is a promo for you. I know when we talked about it, do you own the company? You're part of the company, representative, but something about CBD I wanted to cover for that,
maybe we can talk about that another time. We're going through some restructuring, but it's a cannabis collective where we can mail cannabis products, whether it's THC or CBD, to all 50 states. And So we've been doing that since about 2015, but we're doing some restructuring right now. So I can probably elaborate more maybe on another time regarding that.
Very cool.
Wonderful. Hey, very cool.
Ron,
yeah.
if you're ever looking for a guest, I would offer my services because I got some crazy ass UFO experiences. If you ever want to cover that.
Oh,
on
yeah,
podcast.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. I'll let Olaf know. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's got the government involvement and physical objects and my own personal experience. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
With that, I guess we'll conclude it. Ron, we got to get you back on to talk more conspiracy sometime soon. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah. We'll hone in within a specific conspiracy, but we kind of got a hodgepodge of different things. But definitely. You know, and then I'm also going to be working on a book, too, dealing with some of the things we talked about, you know, like fluoride and pharmaceuticals and vaccines and all these things that are bombarding us and how we can offset or mitigate the effects. So not only are we in the book going to show like what's affecting our health, but what are different ways we can detox from these things.
Oh,
so,
that's
yeah,
excellent. That's another subject in itself, Ron. That's another show in itself,
yeah.
I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
Would love to have you share that, and when you get your book or whatever, or, you know, just getting that marketing for you, just you, not just, you know, with, you know, not to say I don't like Clyde, I love him, but with you, you have your own talents, and we want to focus on you, so that would be
great. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Seriously, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
We can all share and
learn
and
again,
grow
Ron.
And things. All right.
Yeah.
That's another week, Jason.
I know. So much to talk about. Crazy world we're living.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
it's been a while. Like I said, it's been a while since I've been with you. And I want to thank Ron Patton for coming on our show, just taking the time to share what he knows and what he's learned through his experiences. And it's always enlightening to know different things. Of course, I've learned something from tonight, but would love to have him back. So
I'm never going to go outside and take another breath.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm gonna buy a respirator now, or like one of these bio
there you go.
Suits.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
you need like some steampunk dude out there. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Well, Ron, thanks again for coming on. I'm going to have Sherry send you my contact info. I'd be happy to talk about that UFO stuff on your podcast, man.
Sounds good. We'll have you on.
Ah, sweet. All righty. Well, Sherry, what do we got going on next week? Do you know?
I think I'm going to have Sharon Samsel. I was with her at the Body, Mind, Spirit. That's a big expo, and I was with her last week, and she's a psychic medium, and she's based out of the Bay Area where I'm from California. So I'd love to have her on the show for the first time. She, who knows, she might end up doing readings, you know, we don't never know, but I'm going to call her and touch base with her, and she's just, you know, really a sweet colleague. She's been around for a long, long time, and she just knows her stuff, and we've known each other, and we respect each other, and it's just wonderful. So I think I'm going to have her next week, so Sharon Samsel, but if not, I'll have somebody else, so we'll see what happens.
Very cool. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We'll see everybody 7 p.m. West Coast time for that show, and I want to thank everybody for their activity on Facebook. Last week, our posts reached 4.4 million people, and it's going outstanding. Granted, we don't post a lot about the paranormal, but if you like those funny memes, apparently that's what people want to see because we're getting out there. But with that, unless you have anything else, Sherry, I guess.
No,
we'll
and Jason, you got to post those memes. It's like, hey, you know, you have some really funny ones too, so don't worry if you're sharing the link. It is what it is, but I just want you to be part of it. do really have boosted our audience participation and you know, just for people watching and following us. It's awesome.
So the Facebook page is so popular, now it won't let me do anything under the Paranormal Horizons name without two-step authentication. And quite frankly, speaking conspiracy-wise, I don't want to have Facebook have my phone number. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that, because I'm not giving my phone number to Facebook. Maybe I'll get a burner phone because, well, I don't trust Facebook. So we'll have to figure that out.
Oh, really? Huh. They don't have my phone. They don't have my phone for whatever you call the authentication or whatever. But, yeah, you can always put, I don't know. I have it where they can either send it to your phone or they can send it to your email address. They just need a code to make sure you are who you are. Apparently, there's a lot of fraud going on. So,
yeah,
Michelle. Marie and I had to go through our steps in order to be able to post things. But, you know, again,
yeah.
I feel that, you know, it's not fair when you have when you go and put something on and it only reaches a certain amount of people. I think that's kind of off, isn't it?
I think I wish I knew how their algorithm worked. It's very odd, but I'll figure something out, because we got to keep it keep it going, but
keep,
you know, the page gets
just teasing.
Hey, man, I'll use your phone number. How's that?
There's got to be a way around it. I can, you know, I've used my email address, so yeah. And there's just
if I can do an email,
you'll
I'll
get around it.
No
that. Wonder you haven't been posting, Jason. I noticed that. Just start posting, you know. But no, the they just want to know, you know, who you are, so that they. There's no fraud and everything. I think that's what it is, besides other things, as you probably know, too. So.
Yeah, well, they want to know too much. If I'm sitting around talking about, you know, my friends joking to me about, like, these HIV thing, drugs like Biktarvy, and he's, you know, saying these things, the next thing I know, they're on my Facebook wall. Facebook's
wow.
spying on us. I don't have HIV.
Jeez.
I'm just saying. Anything, guys. I was saying something weird the other day. Some weird, God, I wish I could remember what it was. But just some random thing that you were product. And the next thing I know, it's on Facebook. It's
so
scary.
So what do you think? They're actually listening through your phone or you know, your cell phone or what? What do you think it is?
Oh, I just got reminded what it was. It was... commercial driver's license, or there had been some talk in the last couple of weeks where I used references to the commercial driver's license, and now I'm getting commercial driver's license pop-ups on Facebook. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. Everything's spying on us nowadays, and we're breathing in a bunch of nonsense.
I know, you can't. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just being educated. That's all you can do. Be aware. Don't walk around oblivious, but be aware and just, you know, be careful. So I have emails. I don't like emails. I've had my email account hacked many times, so I don't like doing emails.
Yeah, everything electronic is watching it, which is funny because as soon as I get off of here, I'm going to get on my Oculus Rift and play virtual reality, which was purchased by Facebook. So there's no excuse.
Is it really? Is it by Facebook?
Oculus was bought by Facebook. So, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, crazy.
All right. Well, we'll bid everybody
wow.
adieu.
Well, have a good time. But I will see you next week, and I will have a guest, and we will do our own show and giving Michelle, I keep on saying Michelle. Michelle's my daughter, but I'm just keeping Maria. She's giving her a break, and I really appreciate her sitting in for me. She's been wonderful. I just really appreciate her helping us with the taglines on the iHeartRadio. Want to listen to us? We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Blog Talk. We're on Spotify. So go ahead and listen to all the different little podcasts. We're going to be there. And I guess we're not going anywhere. We're just here to entertain you guys. And please don't take any of the memes personally. It's just entertainment purposes only. It's not meant to offend anyone or anything or any organization. It's just some entertainment so that hopefully it'll make a put a smile and a laughter for your day.
And we've already offended a few people, so anyway.
I know. You can't please everybody, but you know what? If you can,
no, you
like
can't.
I said, if you can put a smile or laugh through the day, it's great. You can't. It's
absolutely.
Priceless. Okay, Jason.
All right.
Good
night, everyone.
I want to just thank everybody, and thank you, Jason, for being part of Paranormal Horizons with me, and I really enjoy being on air. It's been, what, 4 years now?
We're a great team, and it'll just keep going up. The sky's the limit.
Yep, we are. We are. And we need to do a little contest to help, you know, maybe stir things up a little bit, right?
Okay. Yeah, we do. Yeah, I think I was going to do it when we had 10,000 likes.
Between your schedule and my schedule, we're crazy. We're going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, I want to thank everybody. And, hey, until next week, tune in.
Stay safe. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Peace.